This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Mega, making Eternia great again! I am Eddie, Prince of Daydream Destruction Manual and defender of the Podcast Arcade. This is Carl, my goat-kicking friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic microphone and said, by the power of podcasts, I have the power!
I have the power too!
Carl became the mighty Goat Kicker, and I became E-Man, the most podcasting man in the universe! Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Podcastress, Jeff at Arms, and Dorko. Together we defend the Podcast Arcade from the evil forces of boredom. Mega!
Welcome to a brand new episode of Make Eternia Great Again. I'm your co-host, Eddie.
And I'm Jeff.
And on today's thrilling, fun-packed episode, we're going to be discussing a character that we touched on several episodes ago. But yes. Now we're going to be doing the deep dive and giving her the absolute treatment that she deserves. Jeff's laughing because the double entendres here are too powerful. Too powerful!
Too powerful.
We're children here. Okay. Make Eternia Great Again.
Get out of our heads.
Yes.
We're talking about characters.
Today we're going to be discussing the one, the only, the treacherous, the conniving,
the maniacal,
the gorgeously, deliciously evil, Evil-Lyn.
All right, so Evil-Lyn.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic character.
Yep.
And
up until She-Ra, I think, was the only female villain.
I think you're right.
I mean, not She-Ra being the villain, but sure. She-Ra, sure. When they introduced Catra and Scorpina. And what was
is
the other one?
Is it Scorpina?
Yeah, I think so.
Man, I'm just not.
And then Catra. I said Catra already.
Catra, yep.
And then there was Shadow Weaver.
Shadow
and a whole bunch of female baddies and She-Ra.
Yep.
Kind of the aesthetic.
Yeah, it's like they went in heavy with She-Ra.
Which, you know, and to be fair, you know, He-Man was like, we should put a girl in this, shouldn't
we? That's right, yeah.
But yeah, so for the longest time was the only female baddie.
She was pretty awesome.
She was awesome, and I don't think a lot of people would argue that.
Mm-mm.
But yeah.
Either way.
We're discussing the toy.
That's right. We're gonna go for the toy. So talking about the toy of Evil-Lyn, did you have the toy of Evil-Lyn?
No.
Me neither.
No, I did not have a female. I was, and this is where I shouldn't be ashamed, but was classically that kind of 80s boy where I was like, I don't want a toy that's a girl. That's weird.
Yep.
Which is, when you think about it, it's no more weird than you having a tiny little version of a man you're playing
with.
You know?
No, it's not. And that's, I think that's what...
we fell for the marketing.
We did. And I think just kind of subconsciously, I'm almost wondering if that's why we've kind of, I don't want to say avoided, but we haven't talked about Evil-Lyn as a character. The only girl character we've actually spoke about and actually had an episode geared towards was Teela.
Yeah.
And that was still before my time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think she was episode 8 or something.
She was early on. Wave 1.
But you're right. But we did the women of
the women of Motu,
which was a great episode.
It was a fun episode. And we even said we wanted to flesh them out as their own episode.
Exactly. And so that's what we're going to do. But I don't know. I just almost wonder if it's a subconscious thing. But also might just be because we just didn't have the characters.
Well, that was just it. I think a lot of it's ignorance, too. We didn't want to come from a place of we have great memories. Now, here's the thing, though. I did play with that figure. This is where it gets a little bit weird.
Sure.
So you didn't own it, but you did play with the toy.
Correct.
My sister had both.
Oh, cool.
She had Teela and Evil-Lyn. And that was partially our thinking, too, was and I think my parents specifically fell in for a lot of that marketing stuff. Where they're girls get dolls and whatever. And so she was very much incorporated into our He-Man and, Motu playtime.
Sure.
But I did not own her specifically as a figure.
See, again, this is one of the times that I'm you lucked out because you had sisters. I never had sisters.
Poor
I just
Jeff.
Had
no
two
sisters.
Bros.
Yep.
Two brothers.
But it was super fun. And what dawned on me as a kid, and this was not lost on me as a kid, because I think there was such a variety of the He-Man male figures that, and not variety so much because I kept using the same models or molds, but with the color schemes that even after we caught on, we kind of instantly forgave it because we were like, oh, well, he's also got this and this and this. A shy of the head, they were the exact same figure.
Yeah.
For Teela and Evil-Lyn.
Correct. Yep.
And except for the color schemes.
And the color schemes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But because there was only two in the entire run of all of the MOTU figures for the He-Man side, there was two women figures.
Correct.
Later on, towards the end, they made a sorceress figure.
Right.
Who did not look like either of
them. Which is in the last wave, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but for the longest time, it was just two of them, and they both looked, they had the exact same mold. So as a kid, it dawned on me pretty instantly that they were both the same thing. But it was just, once again, so funny how, just with paint, how they changed so much of how those two figures looked. And the face and the sculpt on there was just, was next level. Because she had a sneer.
She did.
She had one eyebrow up, if I remember right.
I don't know. Maybe.
She had the arched eyebrows for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
But for the figures, for Teela, I guess we won't talk about Teela. This isn't Teela time.
This isn't Teela time.
This is Evil-Lyn's time. Not a lot of features. She had the power punch. She had the power punch.
Yep.
And which I thought as a kid, I had the mindset to be like, wow, they're much more narrow at the waist as the, for the figure. And they still had that spring-loaded punch.
That's cool.
And so the spring-loaded punch.
I guess I didn't know that. I never said, again, I never had the character or the toys.
They were still spring-loaded.
It's pretty cool.
And but that was it. There was no other feature.
What did she come with for weapons or whatever?
Did
she
have the wand, staff.
Staff or whatever.
Yeah, the hold, it was like the claw that's holding the crystal ball.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it was kind of shorter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I see.
Kind of like the cartoon.
Yeah, that's cool.
In all honesty. But one thing that jumps out immediately to you, and this is kind of a segue to the cartoon, but yeah, there she is.
Yep.
Yep.
Looking at her right now.
Yep.
Okay.
She's got that one hand that's ready for like that's right. Clenched.
That. Yeah.
And the other one that's for some reason is like a swan face.
That's right. Like that's like, it's like she's ready. That's like her pimp hand. Like she's ready to back slap.
She's ready for that backhand. Like yeah. You know, and essentially like the character, just like in the cartoon, is wearing like a one piece bathing suit with boots on.
Yep.
And a hat.
Got legs for days.
She got legs for days. But then again, so does everybody in Eternia.
That's true. That's true.
It just must be really, really humid.
It has to. Everybody's like, clothes are sticky.
This is gross. I'm wearing a bathing suit.
Hey, trust me. I know what it's like. Like, we, like, you know, and I'm not judging any families that are like this or whatever. But so our AC went out in our house.
Yes. Right?
It's been out for a few days.
Oof.
And we're waiting because we have to get a whole new unit. And so we have like 3 days until they can get over to actually replace the entire unit, which stinks. But anyways, so what I'm saying is that as far as the judging thing is concerned, like we, our kids, our family, we're always fully clothed in our house. I know some families are, they walk around without shirts on and stuff like that. To each their own. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But for us, it's very odd for any of us to not be wearing a shirt or pants or something like that in our house. And like, this is the first time in our house that we have like little boys walking around with without their shirts on and stuff. And like, my daughter's always wearing like sweatpants or jeans or something like that. So she's wearing shorts, you know, and everybody's just very modest in our house, you know. And so, like, this is the first time she's like, Dad, is it okay if I wear a tank top? I'm like, it's okay. You know,
yeah, she's, we're all dying. And
so it's like, everybody's just like, Dad, can I take my shirt off to go to sleep? I'm like, yes, you can take your shirt off, son, to go to sleep. I'm like, okay, you know. And so it's just, it's, but, I get it. Like, yes. It had to have been hot and just gross on Eternia at all times. And
which
like,
begs the...
But then they wear fur.
Right. Invest in some fabric.
Oh, man.
Have Duncan quit putting hearts inside of teapots and have him make a breathable short.
Right. That's right.
Some nice thin boots.
Yeah, something.
But so Evil-Lyn rocking the one piece. And yeah, the thing that I liked about it once again was... the masterful use of color on the figure. But here's where it gets interesting. For some reason, for some ungodly reason, the toy designers were like, how do we drive the point home that she's bad?
Yeah.
I know. Let's make her skin lemon yellow. Hey, you know the color of lemon meringue pie?
That's right.
Yeah. Let's make her that color.
Let's make her that color.
It was the strangest choice.
It was. Because it's such a bright yellow.
She is neon yellow.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Because you have to wonder, like, were they thinking, oh, she might be from a different planet? Or, I don't know. There's some,
well, and that's where we get into it. And then we've talked about how like the cartoon and the toys and the comics kind of tended to vary quite a bit. She arguably is probably one of the biggest departures of toy to cartoon.
Yes.
Because like she is never that yellow. She's not even yellow. She's like pale.
No.
In the cartoon, she's just really white.
White. What was she that yellow in the mini comic though?
In the mini comic, in the one that we're going to talk about, she is yellow.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was going to say, obviously they base a lot of toys with the mini comic, but Filmation, I guarantee you they got the toy on the desk like, what? No.
Man,
was
we can't
Janice
do
Janus
this.
Was this Janice Janus or what?
Like, what are you people doing in this toy department?
Just
crazy people.
Weird why she's so yellow like that.
We thought it was a good yellow evil color.
That's right.
Man. She is so yellow, and it jumps out at first, and then eventually where it gets once again. I think we were probably that first the last true gasp of children where the toy companies were like,
they're fine, they'll accept it.
Do it.
That's right.
She's yellow. The cartoon, she's not. Whatever.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Because it was like there's some dude named Rick, he's like mixing all the colors and everything. And he's like, okay, this is why I came with Evelyn. And then some other dude comes over his shoulder, like, no,
yeah,
needs more yellow.
More yellow.
And they okay, so drop some more in. What do you think? No, more yellow. I don't think so. I think we're okay. More yellow.
What I'm actually picturing is Brian from Ranch Burger. That was his next job.
Ranch Burger Brian.
That was his next job. And his job was to dump in some yellow tint. To give her somewhat of a different, like she comes from a different land, and he's putting he has the whole bucket of yellow, and he's like, oops, and it just.
There she is.
They said they wanted yellow. She's yellow as the sun.
Oh my gosh. Should we give the backstory to Ranch Burger Brian? Because I don't think anybody's going to understand what we're talking about.
I think maybe we let Ranch Burger Brian sit out there for a bit, and then we share that at some other time.
There you go, Mega 2.0.
Ranch Burger Brian.
The back tape, the B-sides.
We'll talk about Ranch Burger Brian.
There you go. Anyways.
But yeah, so the toy was super yellow, the cartoon. She was much more of like a pale, kind of an ashen color in a way. And the big mystery was, what color is her hair? Does she have hair?
Right.
Is her head shaved?
Yeah, because let's talk about that for a second. Because like her helmet, I guess, was really weird on the toy.
It looked like the Magneto helmet. Except it had like a fin that was turned sideways. It was like a tiara almost.
Yes. And it just, I don't know, it came across almost like a mermaid or something like that to me. Like I was thinking something like from the sea kind of a thing. And so I didn't really like it. You know, I was like, it was really off-putting. Like Tila, I was like, oh, she looks cool.
She had like a tiara with a bun.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, she looks cool. But like Evelyn, I was like, what is going on in your head? You know, but... I don't know, but I think it was just so because it was so small.
Yeah,
I think that the Filmation cartoon they realized that and made it bigger, and it looks a little bit more
like a helmet.
Natural, but it looks better.
Yeah.
So
well,
aesthetically pleasing.
I was thinking it was almost like the Man at Arms thing, where if we pull that helmet back, is it just an exposed brain?
Exposed.
Surprise!
Brain.
I have no hair.
Oh man,
my brain is exposed.
That's right. I got an itch.
Ooh. So, yeah, the toy, while not a whole lot to really look at first, once you start appreciating kind of where it came from and why they did it, it's kind of a cool figure. Now, you know, hindsight, it would have been cool if they had more female villains, but I think they were probably making the call that they thought boys didn't want to see a whole lot of girl figures. I mean, you do think back to even, like, the G.I. Joe figures.
Right.
You had, like, what was her name? Lady Scarlet? Or what was it? What did they call her again? On the Joe side. Or was it just Scarlet?
I think it was a Scarlet, yeah.
Yeah. And then on the other side, they had the Baroness.
You're thinking of Lady Jane.
Lady Jane.
Yep,
no, they had two. Then they had Scarlet and Lady Jane.
Lady Jane, yep. Yep.
But and that's then they had like the Baroness. It, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And then Baroness.
Well, and then they had
the Dreadnought.
The Dreadnoughts and stuff like that. And so,
but still, even still, you had like 100 G.I. Joe dudes and like two or three ladies on either side. And,
yeah, it was pretty heavy.
Yeah. And they were like, the boys don't want the girl figures.
Yeah. I just think it's because most girls aren't into action figures and stuff that we knew of back in the 80s, you know? And so they're just like, oh, we'll never get the girl demographic to buy these in the first place. So
plus they just thought that little boys didn't want to play with a girl.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. But I remember having the twins or whatever from G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Man, I played with that one all the time. I didn't care if it was a girl. Yeah, she's still awesome. Cool. She changed colors and stuff. And, oh man, it was so cool.
Which we did got your.
Yes. We got a video of that. Stuck them out on the table out in the sun.
Yes.
They still change colors. It's awesome.
Barely.
Barely. That's right. They try. They're like,
I'm doing my best. I'm
doing it. It's been 38 years.
Have I changed color yet?
Yeah, you did.
You're good. Yep, you're good. Stop, please. So, but with that, and now I'd be remiss. Once again, they did kick out a classics version.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. We got to bring out the classics version.
Yeah. And if I remember right, that version is yellow.
Yes.
As well.
Yep.
They did not make a different version.
They stuck with it.
And kind of the same thing. Now, once again, you sacrifice the power feature. There's no power punch.
Nope.
Did they have an alternative head?
They did.
Yeah, that had the white hair.
Correct.
Yep. So you get to see her without her helmet. Mm-hmm. Surprise. No brain.
That's right. No brain. Just white helmet.
Just or white. White helmet hair. Boom. They call me White Helmet.
That's right.
But
yeah, I have the classics and she looks great.
She does.
I like her a lot.
She does. Now, they did a good job, if I remember right, still making her look slightly different than Teela at this point.
Oh, she's way different.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the classics?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The classics, they did not re... Yeah.
No.
And then lastly, the 2002 reboot, that's...
She looks great.
She looks cool.
She looks so good.
Yeah, they didn't go with the yellow. Mm-hmm. They went with more of that kind of like almost sickly, kind of a grayish...
Right.
Almost not quite corpse-like, but she looks not healthy.
No, she doesn't. But it looks good, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Otherworldly, for sure. Kind of alien-esque. You know, they talk about the gray aliens. Jeff's looking up, like, pictures of her from the cartoon. And, yeah, a great design. Threatening, but kind of like you're kind of like, you know, if you're, you know, especially like a young boy or not even boy. Just anyway, she's attractive looking.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So across the board, boy, girl, whatever. Yeah,
she's
good looking.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, yeah, I'm looking at the 2000 series.
Yeah, and that toy.
It's just so good,
yeah,
man.
And in a weird way, she's almost a fusion of the live-action movie, too.
True.
In a way.
Yep, in a way, yep.
You know?
But I just, the color scheme on it was fantastic. Because she is, like, her skin is almost a purplish gray, you know? And then all of her clothes are black and black, white, silver, and purple. And maybe like a lilac, you know, as well. And geez, I mean, and very goth.
She looks kind of like a goth girl.
Yep, yep. Yeah, which is great, you know. So
but all the goth girls are evil.
I'm telling you, man. You know, we kind of knocked on this, and we say this all the time, but like, dude, there was a guy who posted every single 2000 series toy. He had the collection all still in the box, and he was selling it all for $350. I almost pulled the trigger.
For all the toys.
All the toys. Dude. I mean, I don't think he had vehicles. He just had all the figures.
Mm-hmm.
I almost did it.
I mean.
Some of those are great.
Yes.
And to get them all, like, in just one shot, I almost did it.
I feel like we definitely kind of missed the bus.
We did.
I want
because there's a few of them, like, you know, but a lot of them, like, Evil Lynn especially. Like,
I might start steering. I thought about that. Like, what if I started kind of trimming down in some areas and getting some 2002?
Dude, I could sell the classics that I have and buy 10 sets of the 2000 series.
They look great. And this, what gets me, too, and like exactly what you said, it's the sculpts. There's a lot of detail.
There is a lot of detail.
So cool.
So cool. But, all right.
And lastly, not lastly, because whatever, but there are those reissues. Those Super 7, those little things, reaction figures.
Yes.
They had a whole line of
them
did. Now.
Yep.
And then, because first it was just He-Man Skeletor.
Correct,
And then it's like, we'll do them all.
Yeah.
And then also.
The only one they shouldn't have done was Modulok.
He looks
what a disaster. They made him look worse than
how is that possible?
He's like, it's not even a modular thing anymore. He looks like a Star Wars character.
Yeah.
Now. It's just like, hey, Modulok, or Steve.
We'll just I'll call this Steve. You took the worst best parts of him and made it worse.
I know. The only part that made him actually kind of cool, you just stripped that away from him so he's just a dude with an ugly face.
Exactly. You just... You took the thing that made him Modulok and took that away.
Yeah, he's like, well, at least I got this. Oh, we're going to take that away too. Gosh, dang it.
Dude.
bah, 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 bah.
At least I got my funny emails. No, you can't do those anymore.
Oh, they're trying to ruin me.
So, and then lastly, but not least, was the Loyal Subjects. Came out with Evil-Lyn as well.
Which I have.
And she looks like fantastic. A little tiny chibi kind of.
Fantastic.
Yeah, great.
Love it.
So
love Evil-Lyn, man.
Pick your Evil-Lyn. You can't go wrong, man.
But I would say the only one for me that they missed the mark was the vintage.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think she got increasingly cooler.
Yes.
As they, you know what? That's a good point to make. We should almost do a segment like that sometime. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think? Did the figure, as it got made into different versions, did it get cooler or did it get progressively less cool?
Because
I would argue, and I'm going to go on, I might get attacked because I love this character. Someone has even said, I am this character, or this character is me. Where does Eddie begin and Rio Blast end? No one knows. I am right. Rio Blast.
That's right.
As much as I love, and I do, I love the classics version. He just looks so cool with his windswept hair, his handlebar mustache. It looks like he'd punch you in the mouth, that's but right. you'd be happy because you were like, this is great. Having to like, nothing is inside. This sounds nothing is inside of him.
Bruh.
Nothing goes inside of him.
That's right.
His guns, you have to literally just tack pieces on.
Correct. Yeah.
And the only thing about his design that I think is at least as cool is the gun backpack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that doesn't even stay in nearly
true.
As good as the other one.
True.
So I think, as an example, Rio Blast, as he progressed as a figure, got less cool than the original because it was all in one. Like you
correct.
Literally, yeah.
I would completely concur with you because the other thing, I mean, yeah, he had kind of the, you know, kind of porn hair and mustache going on in the vintage
dude.
Or whatever, you know. It was a little weird. He was really shiny, you know. But
super shiny.
Super shiny, you know. But on the other hand, his functionality was cool.
Yes.
Like, I mean, the fact that you could, like, button them all up, like, I'm just a dude, you know.
Yeah.
Just out here kicking it, you know.
Yeah,
and then
you had no clue.
And I was like, whoop, bah, 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 and all these guns. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Like, what are you doing? Calm down, bro.
That's where your lungs are supposed to be.
I don't got lungs. I got guns.
Don't got lungs.
You can't spill lungs without guns.
That's funny.
Oh, but the classics, I mean, he looks cool. But
looks
it's,
cool.
You're right. It's just you have to tack everything on.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
it looks kind of dumb.
It does. Yeah, because you're looking at it going, that can't work. You
yeah.
know, but
I don't see how these things all nest into
truth.
The figure. And then juxtaposed with Evil-Lyn, you have the initial figure, which is kind of, you know, phoned in a way.
Yep.
But each iteration got more cool.
Yep, I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. Because the other thing is, too, is like with the going back to the Rio Blast, you know, the 2000 version of Rio Blast, he was way different.
Yeah.
He was like cyborg, like
gigantic,
like a general,
yeah.
you know, with like a cyborg eyeball and a cannon, like a revolver. And
extreme.
Exactly. So they went like, hey, I'm this dude just out here, just Jeff Foxworthy. I got a TV on my TV. You know, I'm just doing my thing. And then all of a sudden it went into, oh, I'm here to murder everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
he went from Dirty Harry. Well, but I mean, I haven't seen the cartoon. Does he even show up in the cartoon?
He does. I don't believe so.
I think there's a lot of concepts.
Well, you're talking about the 2000s, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think he ever did because, and I don't think they made a toy of him either. It was mm-hmm. like they were going to introduce him and everything stopped, if
I've
I recall.
Seen statues of him and
yeah,
concept
they
art.
Did a statue. They did the NECA mm-hmm. statues or whatever because they had the mold and so they turned it into a statue. But I don't think he ever actually, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
We have to, it's been a while since we talked about Rio. But I think he did not make it onto the cartoon yet. They're going
yeah.
to. So
yeah.
either way.
Once again, denied.
Denied, yeah.
But the point we'll I'm see. Getting at is they kind of lost that aesthetic too, unless all that stuff magically kind of cyborg transformed back into his regular arm.
Right.
But it's kind of cool to see a figure like Evil-Lyn start off fairly humble and then over time get gradually more cooler, even if it's not in the form of features, but in the form of a storyline and in the form of her sculpt. And with that, let's move on to the comic.
Let's do it.
So, the comic.
Comics.
Comic books. So, one of the greatest injustices, as far as like He-Man figures are concerned, second to Rio Blast never even being in a cartoon, except for our lovely audio, video.
The best
version.
Version ever.
Courtesy of our good friends from the Last Starfighters Entertainment
That's
Group.
Right.
in the Arda Lee Bachma.
Yep.
Was that it took this long to get Evil Lyn in a comic.
Yes.
It wasn't until like Fisto was on the scene before they're like, wait a minute.
That's crazy.
What wave are we on here? I think we're on wave 6. She hasn't been in a comic.
That's crazy.
Not yet.
Yeah, because Fisto was wave 4.
Something like that.
I think he was 4.
Yeah.
Either way.
You got freaking Whiplash on the scene.
Right.
You know? And they're like, we've had this character. She's not been in a comic book yet. So they decided to fix that situation. And they featured Teela in the comic, the mini comic, Masks of Power. Which, okay, by the way, I remember this comic. It was probably one of my more favorite ones. Because like a lot of their stories, it's bonkers.
Yes.
The synopsis of this story is that there are these ancient masks that these like goblin-y creatures happen across. And these masks look kind of like werewolf-y, kind of dragon-esque looking things.
Okay.
And what happens is that these masks are enchanted with like evil spirits from the past.
Interesting.
And they put the masks on, kind of similar to the movie The Mask.
Okay.
And it imbues them with these powers and essentially turns these little goblin-y things into, which these goblin-y things kind of look like little mini Modulocs, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
I know, right? Like Modulox kids.
Yeah. Oh boy. Please don't.
One's named Tina Locke and one's named Lucas.
Lucas.
Lucas Locke and Tina
Lucas
Locke.
Lucas Locke.
You guys get back to work now.
Oh my gosh. Why Lucas?
I don't know. So I just funny. Picture Lucas and
have
Tina.
Have you ever met a man named Lucas?
I have.
Have you? Okay, because I remember a bunch of Lucases as Luci. Is that what it'd be?
I think it's a plural.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a kid,
yeah,
I've never seen a Lucas man.
Yeah. No, there's one in our general vicinity.
I think they just disintegrate.
Well, they kind of.
After they hit like 21.
They turn 21 and they just turn into dust. They get Thanos snapped.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. We're going way off the rails today. Sorry.
So these little goblin-y things find these masks and put them on and then are basically like enchanted with these powers to carry on all sorts of like bad you know, hoodoo all over Eternia.
Sure.
And once again, we don't have the actual comics with us here, but per my memory and per my quick kind of research here, the synopsis is Adam, which by the way, he's kind of dressed up kind of in that new version of the Mattel came out with the new toy.
Yep.
He's wearing like the blue vest the gold trim. And his statement here is, look, Fisto, the mystic masks of power. Whoever wears them gains tremendous strength to use for good or evil. Kind of the point being the masks bring out what's right. in you kind of thing.
Cool. Okay.
So I was remiss. They're not inherently evil. They just bring out whatever it is. Skeletor is telling Evil Lyn, go get the masks for me. She gets them. Little goblin-y things get them. And then they turn into these big, huge, demon-y things that He-Man's got to fight. But it basically shows Teela within this story as being Skeletor's, not equal, but certainly what he considers to be closer to his equal than any of his other minions. You know, she's at least not stupid.
Right.
You know, and that's one thing I did give them credit for, like in the cartoon especially. She was never seen as bumbling.
Sure.
I'm glad they didn't do that.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Because it's like, how many people, clearly he is not going to surround himself with morons all the time.
No.
But in the comic, the art style alone is so cool, especially the scenes of them putting these masks on and mutating into these like kind of like possessed versions of themselves. But probably one of the best scenes in it is when He-Man, what I thought was him chopping off their heads, he's chopping off the masks.
Oh.
And he's like, the masks are destroyed. And these little, the monsters shrink back down to the little goblin-y versions of themselves. Of course, we'd be remiss also if we didn't point out the panel where Fisto punches one. And once again, not with his gigantic armored fist, but gives him a left hook.
Nice.
With his non-armored hand.
I mean, he doesn't want to kill him.
Exactly.
He just wants to hurt him.
Exactly. He's like, I don't want to launch you into space.
This fist is for punching. This one's for killing. So you're lucky.
You're lucky.
I was feeling like a left.
What I like is his little buddy's, like his perspective, like his little friend witnessing his buddy get the left hand. He's like, pow! And then his friend sitting here in the corner like, no, my my friend. That's how.
That's right. No, why did you do that?
That's how I feel half the time.
You meanie.
But yeah, Masks of Power. Like, that's a super fun one. That's cool. Probably one of my top top three mini comics for me.
Really?
Next to Slave City, which is still probably one of the best ones.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. I think it's my favorite.
I would like to at some point do a mini comic only episode. Right?
Ooh,
where we discuss our personal, like, maybe top three favorite mini comics.
Gotta have Carl though.
Right? That's a Carl episode. But for show. If you're curious of, hey, where did Teela first show up? It's Masks of Power. Check it out.
That's cool. The cartoon.
Cartoon times. I think it's yours and my opinion, but it might be fact at this point, where we can say that the cartoon version of Evil Lyn is probably the best version of her.
I would agree.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the film version was like, she was there. She's doing her thing.
Yes.
You know? Not really that treacherous. She didn't have that threatening feel.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
That's tough. Hold on. That's tough because... basing off of the film, no,
really,
that's tough. I kind of like Meg Foster.
No,
as
I'm not saying
Lyn.
She's bad. I'm just saying, for sheer scenery chewing that she did, I feel like she was very
that's
much
true.
Like.
I would
like,
say you're right. I would say personality wise and everything.
You didn't
just
wonder if she was
going to
stab Skeletor in the back. You were like, she's got his back.
She came across more evil in the filmation.
Yeah,
I would say that.
This lady is not to be trusted, man.
As far as like. Favorite Evil Lyn, I would probably lean towards the movie.
You going for movie?
I think so, because she had again, personality and filmation was better, but I think that it what I liked about the movie is that she was encompassed in beauty,
yeah,
as well as like she could be maniacal on her own. She didn't need Skeletor. You know, she had her own ways. She was very mysterious and stuff like that. So I don't know. I just Meg Foster back in that movie, dude, was hot.
You were just in the camp.
Yeah.
For me, it was cartoon Evil Lyn.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
I mean, again, she was beautiful.
She got
cartoon.
That look. She's got that one eyebrow.
Dude, it's those eyebrows, man.
It's those eyebrows. Yeah,
I'm telling you, we've talked about this before a long time ago.
She pops that helmet off.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ooh, those ears.
I mean, that's the one thing I will say.
They're big.
I wonder if our cartoon, like, watching as children formed who we wanted
exactly.
to get as wives. Because, like, both of our wives have great eyebrows.
I know, right? Like, does she have Evil Lyn eyebrows? Yes
right.
or no?
Yes, no. Yes, yes, good.
That
yep,
would be
we're married.
That'd be how our, like, dating, like, online profile, like, we would put, must have Evil Lyn eyebrows. So the cartoon version of her was just over the top. Like,
yes.
She was basically this shy of just telling. There's this great episode, or I forget the episode itself, but there's this great line in it where Skeletor's like, "What do you want, Evil Lyn?" And she's like, "Your power, Skeletor." And he's just like, "What?" she was treacherous. You had this, and she would come out right and say, like, she wanted what Skeletor was trying to get. Like, mm-hmm. her plan was to basically, as soon as things went tipped Skeletor's way, she was going to flip the table over.
She's just waiting for her
betray
time.
Him.
Yep.
You know, and in a way, kind of almost Starscream-esque in a way to, you know, what Evil
True.
Lyn is.
Yep.
But he was kind of an idiot.
Exactly. He was a moron.
And she was not.
She played it well.
Yeah. And just kind of that, like, you know, as a kid, once again, I'm kind of remembering it in kid eyes. It's like she was this grown woman who was, you know, clearly like beautiful, but right. also scary in a way.
Yes.
So it was like this weird conflict as a kid where you're like, I think she's pretty, but she's also terrifying.
It was kind of like that mean, gorgeous teacher he had.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want her to yell at me, but I kind of do.
I just had mean. That's funny. I just had mean ones that looked like witches. I did.
Oh, man.
I'll never forget. It was like third grade. Mrs. Frieda.
Ooh.
And this girl had this pound puppy pin, but like pin that you wore on your shirt.
Okay.
And she would take it off and she'd stab me with it.
Yikes.
Because I guess she liked me.
What's her name? Lyn?
No. Evil Lyn. Weird, right? So this girl would take this pound puppy pin off and stab me with it.
Dang.
And eventually I was like, stop it. I like yelled out, right. like, quit stabbing me, you know? Right. And this little witch teacher runs over to me and grabs my arm and starts shaking me, just like, "Arr!" And you could just, like, the look on her face was so angry. She just hated. And you just knew she was so old that she taught in the era when you could, like, you could lay hands on a kid. And that this was in the early 80s. So this was around He-Man time.
Sure.
So, third grade.
Sure, yeah.
And you could just see it in her eyes. She wanted to just hit me and throw me down the stairs so bad. Like, she just. Like,
jeez, man.
My point is, I didn't have that conflict in real life. I had that conflict in cartoon world. So Evil Lynn was pretty. Like, super pretty, and she was also dangerous. She might just steal you for your organs. You wouldn't know.
Steal you for your organs.
I wake up in a bathtub of ice in Snake Mountain. What's happening? I'm taking your organs.
We went out for drinks. Next thing I know. Oh, man. Exactly. That's crazy.
She's that person.
That's funny. She would be.
Evil Lynn would take you out for drinks, and you'd wake up in a tub of ice.
She had me with her eyebrows.
She got me with her eyebrows. I have no kidneys.
She was like, "Hey, how much water do you drink every day?" I should have known.
That's all she cared about. Right.
Anyways,
do I drink alcohol?
Anyway, so cartoon. So Evil Lynn. So the backstory of Evil Lynn.
The backstory. So in the 80s, there was no backstory.
Right, right. So in the filmation, they really don't approach it at all.
No.
But she was, and we've mentioned this before, she was Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to forget her last name. Eddie's going to pull it up.
But, I'm pulling it up. Keep
but
going.
She was the head scientist, I think, that was along with Marlena
Glenn.
This
makes me want to flip this chair over.
Okay.
So, yeah, exactly. Sorry, keep
go
going.
No, you go. You have it in front of you.
Well, so what happened was, and they kind of abandoned this. They decided to not do this with the original series because what the plan was to have her as a scientist on board the spaceship that Marlena Glenn was on, which, how many people now? How many of, is it all of Skeletor's villains? They were just, is this a party bus?
They're just, oh man, it had to have been. Marlena's just out there just drunk.
Marlena and all her college friends.
I got it. I'm fine. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone.
Saul Beastman. Glenn Triclops.
That's right. Everybody get in. We're going to go.
Gary Jaw and Evelyn, get on the bus. We're going to fly to space. I'm drunk.
I'm drunk, but I'm good.
Autopilot.
I feel great.
Got a robot flying this thing.
Oh, man.
So, Evelyn, the original idea was to have her be a scientist on board of the spaceship that Marlena Glenn was flying, and that she would have, in the crash, flown out somehow and was landed on a different planet again.
Right.
And it was not Eternia. It was going to be, let me find it. She was on board Marlena Glenn's spacecraft before it crashed. Evelyn had been insanely jealous of Marlena for being chosen over her to pilot the shuttle when the ship crashed as a result of an explosion from Skeletor's home world of Infinita. Evelyn wound up on Infinita, where the evil powers that the world turned her into essentially a sorceress.
Gotcha.
This origin was used as a storybook entitled New Champions of Eternia, but was unpopular with the show's writers and therefore never referred to in the cartoon.
Wow.
So there
Big
was
miss.
There was kind of a backstory there. But
why didn't they go with that?
I feel like maybe on some level they felt like having all the bad guys come out of Marlena's ship was maybe a
bad idea. What was going on in that ship?
How many people hated Marlena? Maybe Marlena was the problem.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm starting to, it's like that video about how, like, what's his dude, the Karate Kid or whatever, is actually the bad guy.
How
you ever
Daniel's
seen that?
The
how Daniel's
guy?
The bad
yeah.
guy. And they, like, go through and show, like, actually he was a punk. You know, it's maybe this is it. Maybe Marlena's the bad guy and all these guys are just ticked off.
What'd they say? They said, if you start your day off and you run into someone who's mean, then you ran into a mean person. If at the end of the day you think everybody around you is mean, you're the problem.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's probably what it is.
I know, right?
They're all just like, oh, that freaking Marlena.
Ugh,
if Marlena I ever find her. Oh, she married a king.
Of course. Christ. Classic Marlena. Classic. Yeah.
Classic Marlena.
Yep. Stayed in the Air Force long enough and then just married a king.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that's how she was ever since middle school.
We're all like, we shouldn't even leave Earth right now. We're just going to go out for tacos. But no, we got to go leave Earth. And
hey, you sure you even want us on this spaceship? You could probably fly it yourself. You know, you and your ego. Let's just do this.
I'm fine.
I just need this. and my box of wine. Shut up. I have a green cougar in the back. He's on the bus.
You're on the bus.
You're on the bus. We're all on the bus.
Oh, man.
Mr. Mechaneck is in the back. Got a long neck. So the original cartoon, there was a plan, but never enacted upon. So in the cartoon, we didn't have a firm understanding of where she was from.
Of course.
Nor do we care. She's bad.
Boom, here we are.
So what you were setting up and what we're going to talk about probably more so was her origin in the 2002 series.
Yes.
Which was something else.
Oh, my gosh.
So cool. The fact that she was actually from a different planet.
Yep.
And that her father was known as the Faceless One.
Yes, exactly. So cool.
Which apparently at some point in time he did have a face. He was some sort of black sorcerer.
That's how it always starts. Well, I mean, you would imagine. I mean, he'd give birth. Oh!
Ah!
Oh, where's your... We were going to call her Tina, but Faceless One.
Got no face.
No Face Jones.
And so... Hey! And so she had... Sorcery runs in the family here.
Yep.
And that... Her father was actually the creator or the keeper of the Havoc Staff.
Yes.
Guardian of the Ramstone Gem. That's what they were saying. And it has all this.
It's the Ramstone Gem. Sorry.
I think I'm going to go Ramstein. So she's on this planet, and the Faceless One basically sends her to Eternia to kind of partner up with Skeletor to aid in what's happening here. Now, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I think, the Faceless One is a bad dude.
Yes.
He's not some happy guy.
For sure.
But the idea being that there was a larger plan at play, and she would basically kind of intentionally play second fiddle to Skeletor and then basically wait for the right moment to seize her opportunity. Right. And I believe in the cartoon, at some point, they do the Snake Men kind of transition.
That's right.
Where she then betrays Skeletor to align herself with King Hiss.
Yeah.
But then again, once again, she's still not getting what she wants because she's second fiddle to someone else again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of maybe a weird lesson in there, you know?
There's got
to
be.
Like maybe as much as you think you want to lead, maybe you're kind of always going to be second in command.
That's true.
But yeah, but clearly knowing how to work this situation to her more or less advantage to kind of get what she wants. But the cartoon, from what I've seen, my limited exposure to it, and Jeff, you've probably seen a lot of it, haven't you?
No.
Okay.
Not a ton.
I thought you watched a few.
I have. I've seen quite a few episodes, but there's a ton more.
Yeah. There's two seasons, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So like there's probably 50 when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think I'm like 13 episodes in. So okay. I got to get back on it, though.
But from what I've seen, I mean, you could probably speak to this too. Like her character is probably just as treacherous as she was in the 80s.
I'd say more.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just wicked cool though.
Yeah.
Wicked cool.
And aesthetically, she still looks like beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
Menacing.
Yeah. Yep.
Like we said, kind of that weird kind of purplish color to her.
Yeah.
Clearly a sorceress of sorts.
Well, I'm just thinking like she plops her helmet off in the 80s and like we pulled up that picture of her and you're like, oh boy, put that back on. You know, it's like
big ears.
Exactly, big old ears and stuff. But then in the 2000s she takes it off and it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Got like the tussled hair.
Yep.
She had that like tussled bangles hair.
Yes. Oh yeah.
There you go.
Anyways.
And one of the cool scenes I saw with her too in the cartoon was that she didn't just do in the original series, she kind of did more like trickster, almost a Loki kind of spell.
Yeah, that's a good one. Just like Loki. That's right. Yep.
She would use more deception to kind of like disguise herself or do things.
Mm-hmm.
From what I saw in the 2002 series, that happens a little bit, but she also is like bringing the pain.
Yeah.
She had like a meteor shower she was bringing down.
Yep,
I was like, whoa. Right. There's a scene where she launches He-Man across a ravine and you hear him smash into a cavern. Like,
that's right. Yep.
It's like, ooh.
Don't mess with her.
She just tossed him
wrong day.
She's gonna live up to that name.
That's right. She is really evil.
Yeah,
I thought it was just a pun of sorts.
I thought it was a pun.
She was evil.
Which once again, and it does get down to the whole like this, the way that they so badly wanted to name them after puns,
right?
You know, Evelyn.
Evelyn,
of course,
of course.
But yeah, so just kind of running with that theme in the 2002 series and just driving it home,
mm-hmm.
like yeah, she's bad news.
Yeah.
Now, and this is where, like, I really want to sit down and just burn through that whole series.
We need to.
The 2002 series. But pound for pound, if you're going to say Eddie, pick your Teela, you say it's the live-action film version.
Yeah.
And for me, it's probably the original cartoon. I'm still... Her voice was so good.
She had a great voice. That was Linda... What was her name? Oh, boy.
There was a couple of different people.
There were. Yeah, but the original one was...
Oh, here we go. Played by your favorite, Meg Foster.
Yep.
Also voiced by Linda Gary.
There you go, Linda Gary.
And yep. Kathleen Barr.
Yes. Yep.
So, and Linda Gary, for a while there, she also performed many voices on She-Ra as well.
Yes. Yep.
So, what a fun time. But yeah, probably if you said right now, hey, list off top three villains of Skeletor. Like top three henchmen of Skeletor. Would you not? Would you? I wouldn't leave her. Yeah, she's
in
there. No,
she'd be in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say Evil-Lyn, Trap-Jaw, Beast-Man. Toss up between Trap-Jaw and Triclops.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Yeah, right?
That's tough. That's a whole other episode right there.
Top three.
Carl, where are you?
Carl, go kicker.
We need, yeah, that could be really cool. You know what we should do, which we should think about? The 2000 series, and this is something because we have a YouTube channel now.
Oh, yeah.
We could do reactions, live reactions of us watching the 2000 series.
That's a good idea. That's something we need to do.
That could be pretty fun.
Done.
Let's do it.
Take
11 people watch it, 10 by accident.
And one of them's us.
That's
no.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be fantastic. But
I would love that.
We'll have to put some thought into that. Either way,
stay tuned for those kind of things. But yeah, check out our YouTube channel. Right now, we just have the one video.
Yep.
But there'll be some more.
We have so many ideas that we're cooking up and starting to roll out and knead out and stuff. So very soon, we will be more than just your podcast stuff machine's favorite thing.
Stay tuned for that.
We will be your YouTube stuffs machines.
Also, some quick housekeeping. We have the mini convention.
Yes.
Coming up.
The mini con.
In September 7th.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Is that already that close?
We're going to be in Grand Island at the Grand Movie Theater from 11 to
Grand Island, Nebraska.
Yep.
So get on your airplanes. Yep. If you're in Finland.
Wherever you need to come, let us know.
Yep.
11 to 4. And then we'll be at the film as well. The film starts at 6, I believe.
Yes.
6 or 7.
I think it's 6.
And it's The Goonies.
The Goonies. Best 80s movie ever.
For real.
For real.
And then followed after that, there'll be some fun being done with the Paranormal Dads.
Yep.
But come for that if you can at Grand Island, Nebraska, the mini convention. And the Grand Minicon.
Grand Minicon, yep.
And we will be there.
Yep, and it's all Goonies themed. There's treasure maps and giveaways and all sorts of stuff. And us
so
and
much fun.
Other fellow Last Starfighters entertainment groupers will be there.
Yep.
Gunstars, as we call them.
The Gunstars.
There'll be other vendors there as well. Yep. I don't remember them all. But obviously, as we get closer, we'll mention everybody.
Check out the Grand Comic-Con Facebook page. And also, there's the Mini-Con event page.
Yes.
And you can see who the vendors are going to be and all that.
Right.
And then also, if you didn't get your hands on a hard copy of the comic book that we co-produced with all of our friends from the Last Starfighters, we will have a handful of hard copies there as well.
Yes.
So be sure to come get your copy.
Yes.
If and you want one.
That's right.
And who doesn't want
one? You should want one. You should want two. You have two hands.
You have two
hands. Hold too many comics.
You have two eyes.
Exactly. You can read them at the same time.
Unless you're Triclops.
I'm on page 4 over here, page 11 on this one.
Why aren't you reading stuff with two eyes?
That's right.
Two books at once. But yeah, man, thank you all for joining us on this episode.
That's right. Please make sure to like, comment, share on this episode and all of our others. Again, we're bringing in more and more fans every single day, and we appreciate every single one of you, all of you who stuck with us from episode 1 all the way up to now, and everybody that's joining, welcome, and hope you're enjoying the mega ride, because we're having a blast.
The mega experience.
That's right. It's so much fun. Anyways.
So without much more to say, until next time.
Good journey.
And with that, let's hit on...
Oh my gosh.
Girl, you look good with your gray skin. Good.
Okay.
I'm all over the
map. Let's start all over.
Ready?
Hello, outtakes.
Take two. Eddie poops the bed.
That's right. We're good.
When you poop in the bed, do you just like sit in it? Or do you just like get up and burn the bed?
I think you just own it.
This is my poop.
Here we go.
Wow, she's got red hair.
Eva Lynn does not have red
hair. That's Tila down there.
Tila!
You see her? That's Tila.
I can't.
You can't see her. Never mind.
Oh, whoa.
She had red freaking hair,
walking
man.
Walking with the business. She looked like a Fifth Element.
Oh, she did.
Was it Lilo?
I think so. Lilo and Stitch. I think that's what it
Lilo.
Was.
Lilo. Ohana family.
I have red hair.
What? Here we go.
Yeah. We're going to start off our segment talking about the toy because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Eddie.
Well, the toy.
I'll clip this out. Edit.
The cartoon probably, and this is, you know, my and yours opinion and probably a fact at this point, is probably the best representation of Tila.
Yes.
I said Tila again.
It's and also Evelyn. It's Cyclone, Skyclone, Tila, Evelyn, whichever.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's good.
Of Evelyn.
Yes.
But let's be honest, of Tila too.
Sure.
But yep. Coming back, it's Tila. Oh my gosh.
Yep, it's Evelyn. It's been a week, folks. Over. It's been a week.
Please let's start over. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Hum, 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 hum. Evelyn, Evelyn, Evelyn. There you go.
There you go. Comfy.
You know, you remember things by adrenaline. So say Evelyn and slap yourself.
Evelyn. Gouge my eye. Okay, I'll remember now.
All right.
Ready?
Let's start all over.
Okay.
We are recording.
Listen to me, Brian. If you do one thing today, you sell that ranch burger. You sell it. You sell that ranch burger or I'm going to fire you.
I'm going to sell the ranch burger.
You're
going to
sell that ranch burger? You better sell that ranch burger.
If anybody asks you about the ranch burger,
one person,
you don't start telling them all the shit that's inside of it. You just tell them it's got ranch on it.
You just tell them it has ranch. You tell me, okay.
We kill a cow, and then we bash it over the head, and then we take it out back, and we strip it of its fur. Like, geez, man.
Brian!
Brian, calm down. It's a burger
it's
with
a
ranch
burger
on it.
Burger covered in ranch. Tell him. Hey, man, what's up with the ranch burger? It's he's looking over at his boss, and his boss is flexing his knuckle. He's cracking his knuckles. And he's like, got sweat on his forehead. It's a burger.
It's a burger with ranch.
Ranch on it. Please order the ranch burger.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Oh, hold on. Oh, dude, we have got the goofiest today.
He's
all right. All right, what are we doing?
Picture Elmer Fudd. That's basically what we're dealing with. Elmer Fudd, who's been beaten down so bad in life, he just wants to go home and play, like, you know, GoldenEye on the N64.
So
he's like, let me just, please, my dad's making me work here. Mega